Okay, our friends. So today, in honor of summer being upon us, it is time now for us to celebrate that important and altogether loved favorite of summertime, the popsicle. And since we've been talking about inventors, let's do this story, shall we? It's called The Boy Who Invented the Popsicle. And the cool science behind Frank Epperson's famous frozen treat. It was written by Anne Renaud and Milan Pavlovic. And it's read today by Mommy and...
Shop owner.
Are you a shop owner? No. What do you sell in your shop? Popsicles?
No.
Oh.
Items, food, materials.
Oh. Well, maybe after today's story, you might want to add popsicles.
I'm dying to know why I really like popsicles.
When we open the book, we can see a little boy and his dad. And he says, "I want to be a great inventor." And the book says, Frank William Epperson knew what he wanted to be when he grew up. And everyone in Frank's family knew, too, because, in case they forgot, he reminded them often. And the rest of his family can hear him, his mom, maybe he's got a brother, they're all listening. When not busy with his schoolwork or chores, Frank could be found adventuring with his brother, Cray, practicing his cornet, which is kind of like a trumpet, right? Mm-hmm. Or learning magic tricks. Do you know any good magic tricks?
Yeah.
He also pondered important question. Do goldfish sleep? Do ants have ears? Do woodpeckers get headaches from pecking all day? You think so? But Frank's favorite pastime was inventing. And to invent, Frank knew he had to experiment. So off he would go to his laboratory, his back porch, where he doodled and designed. And we can see him working on some blueprints, you know? He must be a very artistic inventor because he's drawn quite a bit here, don't you think? Tinkered and tested, analyzed and scrutinized. By the time Frank was 10 years old, he had already masterminded his first invention, a hand car with two handles, at twice the speed of a regular one-handled hand car. Frank whizzed down the streets of his neighborhood, and we can see, whoom, there he goes. It kind of looks like, you know how when you would like have a tricycle and it has a handlebar? Yeah. Or if you're in a little red wagon and it has just that one handlebar, imagine if it had two. And that's kind of what this picture looks like.
Imagine your version of transportation had two handles.
Yeah. Frank also experimented with liquids. And so, in this book, my friends, it gives us some instructions on how to do our own experiments with liquids using cooking oil and water and a drinking glass, and you will find out that those two particular ingredients, the cooking oil and the water, do not want to play together. So it is a science experiment in the book. But on with the story. But what Frank loved most was experimenting with flavored soda waters, the kind that hissed and whizzed when he held a glassful to his ear and sent tangy bubbles galloping across his tongue with every gulp. Frank had his heart set on inventing the yummiest, most thirst-quenching, lip-smacking soda water drink ever. Well, let's see. So Frank would go to the corner store to buy the flavored soda water powders that he needed for his experiments, often with his little brother Cray tagging along. And in the picture, sure enough, we can see them. And this shopkeeper says, "Hi, Big Ip. Hi, Little Ip." Ip. I'm guessing it's short for their last name, right? Cray was a handy taster for Frank's concoctions. Some of his attempts were unsuccessful. You could even say they were disastrous, but Frank just kept on trying. I bet that this, we can see in the picture, his brother is not a fan of this particular beverage. And there is a recipe here for how to make your own lemon-flavored soda water. And the instructions are right here, and then also you can take these ingredients and make it at home with lemon juice, water, a drinking glass, baking soda, and sugar, fizzy. One day, Frank and the other children in his neighborhood decided to build a miniature amusement park. There was a theater, a merry-go-round, and a scenic railway. Frank was assigned the soda water stand, which suited him just fine. He could share his soda water creations with all his friends. It was also around this time that something peculiar happened. The temperature dipped, then plunged. This would not have been unusual had Frank lived in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Pocatello, Idaho, where it could be bitterly cold in winter. I don't know why the temperature dipped either. But he lived in San Francisco, California, where only rarely did the temperature drop below freezing. So Frank tried another experiment. He left a glass of flavored soda water outside overnight.
"I wonder what this drink will taste like frozen,"
he says to himself. And guess what? When he woke up the next morning, Frank ran to his back porch to discover his soda water had frozen solid. He could no longer sip it. He had to lick it like a lollipop. Frank had invented a frozen drink on a stick.
"Hot dog,"
he says, waving it in the air. "It's pink. It looks nice. Don't you think?" As he grew older, Frank's invention did not melt from his memory. He just tucked it away in the corner of his mind, and there it stayed while he and his sweetheart, Mary Frances, began raising their gaggle of children, which is a technical term for a large group of kids. There's 5 of them, huh? But when Frank noticed more and more people eating chocolate-covered ice cream bars, off he went to his laboratory, now his garage, to experiment. And he says, "Could I make money with my frozen drink invention? What if I used fruit juices?" Oh, now he's onto something. Frank found a way to make many of his drinks on a stick at the same time, with test tubes to mold them. Ever wondered where popsicles get their shape from? Test tubes. Wooden sticks to hold them, and a cool way to freeze them. "Hot dog," he says, because now he's grown up and you can see he's working this out.
Fridge.
Mm-hmm. For Frank's drinks on a stick to freeze, they had to be cold, very cold, colder than 0 degrees Celsius, which is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, the freezing point of water. And why? Because their ingredients, like sugar and flavoring, lowered their freezing point. So what did Frank do? He built a freezing box that held dozens of test tubes suspended in a mixture of crushed ice and salt. Frank knew that salt lowered the freezing point of water and that salty water froze at a much lower temperature than plain tap water. The salt and ice mixture would be colder than 0 degrees Celsius or 32 degrees Fahrenheit. He's doing science and math at the same time. Good job, dude. And in the book, friends, it will actually help you prove that salt can lower the freezing point of water in an experiment. Worth checking out. You'll need drinking glasses, salt, and lukewarm water. Frank's drinks on a stick also had to freeze quickly. If they froze too slowly, the sugar and flavoring, which were heavier than water, settled at the bottom of the test tubes, leaving just flavorless frozen water at the top. And Frank wanted his treats to have the same tasty flavor throughout. The salt and crushed ice mixture surrounding the test tubes was so... Yeah. Really good question. I know how they do that, but let's see if they'll tell us. First, it says the salt and crushed iced mixture surrounding the test tubes was so cold it froze the liquid inside the tubes in minutes. Now we're starting to get an idea here. And it tells you how to make a frozen treat in a flash. So you can get your fruit juice and some ice cubes and some salt and some water and a large plastic resealable bag and a small one too. And then you need some oven mitts to keep your little fingers from freezing. And it'll tell you exactly how to do the science experiment. Well, Frank named his invention the Epsicle. Because remember, his last name starts with an F, right? And began selling it for a nickel at country fairs and beaches. And in the evenings, his children helped him roll the nickels that he had earned. Frank had a clever way to encourage shop owners to sell his frozen treats. For several weeks in a row, he sent one of his children into a store to buy an Epsicle. Each week, the shop owner had to tell a different child that Epsicles were not sold in the store. Frank would then visit the store himself and ask the shop owner to stock his treats. And of course, the owner agreed because they had had so many requests. Very smart. It's another good reason to have five children, I suppose. Frank's children were always keen to sample their father's confections. And if your dad made popsicles, wouldn't you want to eat them too? Well, let's see what happens. And with all them clamoring for their pops' tasty fabrications, in time, the name of Frank's invention changed to, and in the picture we can see,
Pop, can we have a sickle? Orange is my favorite.
Ooh, that popsicle, the kids called it, because he was their pop. And he made these little icicles, didn't he? Yeah. And it doesn't tell us how to make the multicolored ones, but I can tell you, they do it in tiers. So they'll dump in, let's say you were a red, white, and blue one. And they'd put the red at the bottom. And then when it starts to be nice and frozen, then they'd pour the white. And then when it was nice and frozen, they would pour the blue. And then as the colors freeze, they add more colors to it. Make sense? I thought so. And that, my dear friends, is...
The end.
It is the end. Is there anything else you would like to say?
Hope you can join us for another story tomorrow.
Me too.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.